Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It is Thursday. The U.S. Open officially begins. Mac Morey, day 2 at OTAs. The needle will be moved.
Oh, is today the day you're going
Thursday,
back out
baby.
There?
Oh, yeah. Baby. You thought Tuesdays were horny.
Yeah.
Welcome to Thursdays at OTAs with Mac Morey, baby.
He's still young, so I can understand why this is a little more exciting for him
I'm pumped.
A good Tuesday. Yeah.
You get What's the opportunity. Pack in your backpack? Got a bottle of water? Yep. Yeah. Got some shades? Yep. Got some sunscreen? Yep. Got some duct tape? Why do you have duct tape?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's that or Gorilla Glue, and I don't want to pull it.
You know what? You should get Flex Seal. That works, man. Okay, you can Flex Seal that thing together.
I know that I'm hard.
Yeah. You'll be out there today, right?
Andy Reid speaking today. He is ready to go.
You know, this
man.
Might be the first time in a long time Mac got up before the sun. You know, like,
yeah.
He's ready, dude. Yeah. Barely asleep.
It's OTA day 3.
Let's go. Yeah. Honey, it's 4 a.m. I'm not awake yet. Oh, it's not for you, babe.
Yeah, it is OTA day, and Andy Reid's talking today, baby. Let's go.
It's for one Arrowhead drive.
Yeah.
We'll get into what was the realization of maybe last night's game for some of us with the Royals and the Skankies.
Yeah.
Because, boy, that's tough to watch.
It is.
But I'm still there every night, as should most of you be. You should all be there. Sometimes, you know, after the game's over, you know, you go somewhere to, you know, change the viewing point of your mindset. And for some reason, like most people would go watch, I don't know, something worth, you know, your time or to make you feel good about yourself. You guys decided to watch Chiefs versus Titans, a.k.a. Alex Smith's last game.
It was on.
Kansas City, yeah. After getting beat by the Yankees again.
Well, it's 5-0, and then yeah. Judge goes oppo, and I'm like, okay, let's see what else we got going on in the world today, right? And I stumbled upon the Chiefs-Titans game on NFL Network yesterday. And let me tell you something. I went to bed at halftime of this game with a 21-3 lead. And then I wake up this morning and find out we lost that football game. I still don't understand how the hell we lost that football game. And I still don't think people understand really how good Alex Smith was as a quarterback here in Kansas City. He was out at OTAs yesterday checking out the Chiefs. I don't know if he'll be there again today. Damn. If he is, you go up to him and you say, you would come on the show, please,
yes,
and get his phone number. That's how we work those things. because that's how we make connections. I'm giving you a little bit of a lesson on the air, on
taking
the fly.
Notes.
You go up to Alex, you introduce yourself, you shake his hand, say, just watch that game last night. Man, you were awesome in that game. 6:30 tomorrow, work for you, it works for us, right? So that's how
you
get it.
Do you think they should have put Mahomes in?
Yeah, well, no, they never should. Alex Smith in the first quarter of that game was a perfect quarterback. He had 154 yards passing in the first quarter.
Wow.
And the only reason he had two incompletions is because Tyreek Hill dropped two passes in the first quarter of that game. Otherwise, he would have been perfect.
That's like horseradish.
They are up 21-3 in that game. 21-3 in that game going into halftime, and they ended up losing the football game. And throughout the entire game, I found it very funny because that was John Gruden's last game broadcasting before he went back to the Raiders. Mm. We all know how that, you know, philosophy thing ended out there in philosophy. I don't even know what that meant, but now that thing ended out in Las Vegas, Oakland, and all of that. Now John Gruden's on Barstool. So many people in that game that you've totally forgot about, like Kevin Pierre-Lewis was playing in that game. Forgot about Kevin Pierre-Lewis, man. But John Gruden just kept saying, I wouldn't turn this thing over to Patrick Mahomes. I'd keep Alex Smith for as long as we possibly can. There's no reason to give up on Alex Smith. The Chiefs would be making a big mistake if they get rid of Alex Smith. I mean, the praise of Alex Smith in that game, when we all knew it was Alex's last game and he was going to be moving on and Patrick Mahomes was going to take over and whatnot. But that game for me, I realized, like, again, I didn't go back and watch the second half because I was done at that point. We're up 21-3. I went to bed. I figured it was over, right? How the hell did we lose that game to the Tennessee Titans? And Dusty's like, Revis?
Yeah, exactly. Revis. Travis Kelce got concussed.
Well, and that was the other thing. Travis got knocked out of that game, and that changed the entire dynamic of the game. DeMarcus Robinson, really good, though. I mean, he was really good in that football game. Still an underappreciated wide receiver, I think, here in KC. But Alex Smith, with the realization for me coming out of that game was, we have basically forgotten how good Alex Smith really was as a quarterback, and especially that year. He had his best year that year for the Chiefs, over 4,000 yards. He was brilliant in that season, and he was great in that game against the Tennessee Titans, at least in that first half, giving you that 21-3 lead. I think sometimes we forget Alex Smith was really good. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is better, but man, we forget how good Alex Smith really was as a quarterback.
Well, you talk about the juice that Cags brings to this lineup or brought to this lineup at times. It's the same thing. Like, I think we all knew going into that year, like, this was it for Alex. Like, he needed to showcase that he could do it still, so that way he could get that contract. It ended up being like a really awesome deal,
like
at the end.
$80 million or something.
And Washington got him, and then they got, what was it, Kendall Fuller for the trade there or whatever. And yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where, like, Alex started throwing the deep ball a little bit more that year. And I was at that game, actually. I was covering it with Brad Fanning and I.
Oh, nice.
And when Mariota threw it off Revis's face,
you knew it was done.
And he caught it and went in. I looked, and I think that made it 21-10.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Or maybe 21-17. It was something like that. And I remember I looked right into Brad Fanning's face. Because here's the thing. I was at my buddy's house, watched the Colts game. Mm-hmm. When they lost that game and they were up whatever that score was.
Right, yeah.
I was at the Pittsburgh game that they moved back because of what was going to be weather. And it was,
that was the
hilarious. We didn't give up a touchdown and they lost. And then that happened when it hit Revis in the face.
Right.
And I remember to this day, and if Brad's listening, he'll text me and tell me. But like, I remember to this day, I looked right at him and said, this game is over.
Yeah.
And he goes, what are you talking about? Like, he always would be like, what are you talking about? And he'd always call me like numb nuts. Yeah. What are you talking about, numb nuts? And I said, Brad, I've seen this before. I've been in this seat before. I know how this ends. And then all of a sudden, drop pass, forward progress, right. You know, on Derek Johnson. And I just kind of wheel my chair back, and Fanning looks at me. He's like, you son of a... And I'm like, what? He goes, you called it? And I was like, I've seen this. And that's so great that you watched this last night, because that's where we were, and now where we are. It's almost 180, because now you're down by 10 with 7 minutes left. You're like, man, it ain't over.
We got this, right? Yeah, we got this.
But you're up 21-7, and you're like, eh.
I mean, honest to God, honest to God, though, I don't know that I've seen a better hit on the quarterback than what Derek Johnson did to that guy.
Why do you think that every time I ask him about it, he's like, you got to bring that up, bro. I'm like, dude, it was launching.
I mean, it was, I mean, he came out like a heat-seeking missile. Oh, yeah. I don't think I've seen that since. I mean, that was one of the greatest sacks that I've ever seen.
Quarterback in forced progress, no sack.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Place crumble and boost.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable, but Derek was big in that game, man. That was his last home game as a Chief. I mean, he was huge. favorites. In that game, and he'll always be my favorite Chief. And so watching that game, and like he's still a great. I mean, he was just awesome, you know, in that game. But you know, they at one point of the game in the first quarter, they showed an aerial shot of Arrowhead, and there were a lot of empties in the stadium that day, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, gosh, there's a lot of empties going on at the stadium that day, and I thought. Patrick Mahomes kind of rejuvenated the fan base more than he rejuvenated the team because that was a playoff game. And it was kind of, you're in that malaise of like, are we ever going to be really good? Or are we just going to be this middling, you know, 11-5, get to the first round of the playoffs and lose, you know, type of team that we see a lot of times. And I think the fan base was at that point where they're like, is this the same old song and dance, wild card game? And Patrick Mahomes added that infusion. He rejuvenated the fan base to a level that, like, we've never seen. The fan base was great, but Patrick Mahomes took a great fan base and made it even greater. And that's kind of what the Cags-Bobby effect is happening at Kauffman Stadium, because at the K still the other night, I don't know that I've heard a stadium that quiet unless somebody's been injured. And even when somebody's injured, it doesn't get as quiet as it was for the Cags announcement and welcoming him into Kauffman Stadium for the first time. And so I hope he can have that same effect that Patrick Mahomes had on the fan base effect here in Kansas City, where it was just, all right, let's go, baby. It is on. Because, I mean, that stadium was a little quiet. It was a little empty when they showed the aerial shot. And since Patrick Mahomes has been there, it's been unbelievably packed and awesome, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in that locker room after the game, and I went up to Mahomes as a rookie. And I will never forget this. He was getting dressed, looking distraught, and I said, hey, do you have any, you know, any comment? He goes, I didn't play in the game, so I'm not going to talk about it. I was like, okay.
Cool.
And from that moment on, it was like, all right, dude. And this is back when his locker was next to, like, you know, whoever else. He was over on this side.
Oh, Alex, he was in the corner.
And I just remember, I was like, hey, Pat, you know, you got a couple of minutes. He's like, I didn't play in the game, so I'm not going to speak on it. So it's fair enough.
Great comment.
Yeah. And
great
answer. You know, sure. Sounds great, man.
Like, and what's he going to add? Yeah. I mean, good on you asking. 100%. Yeah. $1 million move by you. Great job out of you. Great job out of Mahomes. I didn't play in this game. I got nothing.
Nothing but negative can come from him saying anything about that game.
Like, if you would have said, you think you were going to go in? Well, they could say, you know, nothing.
Nothing.
And he's 100% right, whether you like it or not. He has no say in that. He was not in the game. He did not take a snap in that game. You have no opinion that matters at that moment. And that was Patrick Mahomes. And then after that, it was the announcement that he's a starter about 2 weeks later. And that's a fun story as well. I mean, that's the first time I ever got like a fist bump from Kling.
Is that when he got, you know,
yeah, that's when I got
to the office.
And that was great. I mean, it's just, it is wild because, you know, I think that's why a lot of times when we first transitioned into the Mahomes thing, a lot of people are like, man, I'm so glad Alex Smith's gone. And then now we start to see people kind of come back around and be like, you know, Alex Smith actually was that guy that, you know, that was the beginning of the end to the start of something new.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith just so happened to be the Band-Aid between what was so abysmal and terrible to what was about to be. You know, Moses led the people. He never saw the promised land. Alex Smith got the people there and was like, you'll see, it's coming, trust me.
You know,
just, you got to go there and get there. Because I always ask, who would you have rather seen get a championship in their Kansas City career that never got one? Mike Sweeney or Alex Smith? Very tough debate.
Very tough debate.
But a lot of people tend to lean towards the football side because of what they know now of Alex Smith and what he did for Pat.
Yeah, Alex Smith really should go down, and I'll say he should be a Ring of Honor guy.
I mean, he will be.
I mean, that's how good Alex Smith was for this football team. And really, like, hindsight is 20/20, but just watching it again yesterday, and they kept talking about him mentoring Mahomes and how awesome that was all season long. Like, at one point, John Gruden goes, this guy's playing for his job, he's playing to win games, and he's mentoring this kid all at the same time. Like, I just don't think we appreciate enough and ever will. He'll ultimately be the most underappreciated athlete in Kansas City sports history. Him and Mike Sweeney are both going to go down as probably the two most underappreciated athletes in Kansas City. But I'm watching that game, and you guys can all weigh in on this one. I'll throw this at you. There's one player from that offense that you would want on this team right now. Who would it be?
Isn't Charles?
Jamal Charles?
No, he was not on
That's Spencer Ware.
Yeah. He was not on that team.
I'd take 27-year-old Travis Kelce.
Oh, I like that. But you know what? I wouldn't. I would take 27-year-old for his body, but not where he is right now from an adult standpoint.
So,
right?
So what's your D line? Is that Tomba still? Or is
Tomba was on that team, 100%.
You said just on that team,
well,
not offense.
I was watching the offensive side. I did say offense, but you could pick either. Because for me, the answer is
Tyreek's there.
Tyreek is there,
and he's in year one.
No, two.
He's probably
year 17. So he was drafted in 16. Yeah, so that was his second year.
That's right.
And they were doing some weird stuff with him. Every once in a while, they would go deep. a lot of behind the line type of stuff to get him the ball.
Still
quick,
like a running back, hybrid-ish guy.
Well, that was the thing. The year before, Alex was gun shy, and that's another reason why people were always like, "Gosh, I wish he'd just unload." But what we saw in spring training was this number 15 dude just, you know,
I know who your answer is now.
You do,
Eric Fisher.
You're 100% right.
Yeah, I said to think about it for a second. I was like, "Yeah, that's Bob."
Yeah,
and you're right,
100% right. I mean, I continue. I know it sounds old and cliche, but like, I'm tired of dealing with this left tackle thing. You know, like the stadium stuff. I'm tired of dealing with that too. I'm tired of dealing with the left tackle. Just give me somebody that I know that I can count on. Yeah. At that position.
Is that Warren West? Is that
Warren West.
They were awesome.
Tama looked good in that game too, guys. I mean, but there was a lot of nobodies. That Marcus Peters was playing for the Chiefs.
That was about time he was exiting.
Yeah. He was getting very close to see you later, Marcus, you know?
Oh, that's right. I remember that now. Cause when he ran through I think there's audio still to this day. He's walking to the locker room. He said, "Where you going, Marcus?" "Home." Yeah, he was a tool.
Yeah,
great
but,
player though.
As we could all agree, what we'd say to Alex Smith is,
"Thank you very much."
No doubt,
that's right. God, it was good.
It was fun. Go watch Alex Smith's first last game at Arrowhead when they played the Chargers.
Oh, what a great game! That touchdown,
overtime.
Man! Oh, what a game!
Oh yeah, that game. Yeah,
he went through a wall for
what
Smith.
A game!
Overtime
man.
QB sneak when they did it off right tackle
because they were down like 35-10 right in that game, and we had soccer at like halftime. We're like, "All right, well, it's all right, no big deal." And I'm watching the game on the phone at the soccer game. I'm like, "Oh my god,
yeah. That's awesome!"
And Alex Smith hit that flex. Whoever got that shot,
thank you very much.
Coming up on the other side, who's the guy? We're pissed. You should be pissed. It's fine to be pissed in sports when you care about your team, but who do you want to be that guy? We'll talk about it next on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Thank you very much.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Let there be light. Outside bullpen just lit up and there's no one out there.
That's weird. Maybe the lights are on a timer or something.
The spirit of Levine. Richia. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well on 96.5 The Fan. Big day for Mac as he'll be out at One Arrowhead Drive.
Yeah, OTA day,
I know,
baby.
That I'm hard.
What are you looking forward to? What are your top five things you want to see at OTAs?
Josh Simmons. Honestly, I do want to see more Josh Simmons.
Geek.
Yeah, total geek.
Yeah, left tackle. Left tackle.
I want to see a left tackle. Shorts,
I want to see a left tackle with a thing on his knee.
You got a strong fiance, bud.
Yes. She was
OTAs?
Done.
Josh Simmons is great. All right.
She's not looking forward to it. I told her for the fourth time yesterday. This is what she said. I know.
You're really excited. You're very excited about it. Tell her about Arthur Treacher's and the Pollock to Cod, and that'll be a lot more entertaining than telling her about OTAs.
Shout out to Sam. Yeah, that's wild, man. So Josh Simmons, you're ready to see Jalen Royals again?
Yep, Jalen Royals gets me going.
Gotta be
He gets me movement.
What about
for sure.
Lars Nootbaar? Are you looking forward to seeing him out there at OTAs today?
Yeah, he's in St. Louis.
Oh, is he? Okay, my mistake.
I didn't get to see the defense a lot, so maybe some of the younger guys on defense.
Oh, yeah, the cat-like quickness that they have along that defensive line.
Yes.
People are flying all over the place.
See if McDuffie's, you know, worth a contract.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can find out a lot today about that. Yeah, you'll know today whether or not Trent McDuffie is worthy of signing long-term.
Well, I think it was on Friday that the text line got at you and I, Dusty, when you were gone, Bob. But just to inform you, McDuffie is a below-average corner. He's just a slot corner.
Yeah.
He's undersized, okay?
Yeah,
Who said that?
It's pretty much a lot of people.
Yeah, the text line weighed in, man. They say he's undersized.
I'm glad
undersized,
they're not running the team. I mean, goodness.
Yeah. All pro.
But it did make Mac and I think to ourselves, like, is he going to get signed?
We did have that conversation.
Yeah. No, yeah, he is. I know for, like, the last couple of years they've wanted him to be the guy, if you will.
Yeah.
But they got other things that they got to work. Like, there's no timing, right? That's why, like, anytime something needs to get done, it never happens until the last second. I mean, have you heard anything about the right guard? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Has anybody heard a thing about Trey Smith? Like, literally, there has been nothing.
Well, Mac thought they already signed
him. No, I was like, oh, yeah, and that was just rumors that came out of number, but nothing's been signed.
Nothing's been signed. I didn't even see the rumors. Like, and I'm getting nothing from anybody when I'm asking people about it.
Definitely
like,
rumors.
Like, so, you know, that kind of stuff. How do we get on that topic of, you know, contracts? Oh, yeah, that's right. So, he's got to get his contract taken care of. And then, you know, there's steps that need to be taken. And you know, when you're the next guy up, then, you know, that's when we see a deadline where you sit in the press box on the first game of the season with two, like, you know, I don't know what's in terrible, weird, you know, JCPenney style suits or whatever that was.
Hans and Franz. Yeah.
then you get your contract signed, you know? I mean, like,
we're here to get you paid.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Like, you know, like, oh my God, what the hell's going on here? Is this Roman Anthony's brother?
Yeah. No, and then the text line says from the 660, are you looking for more Dave Tube?
Yes,
of course. Gotta I'll speak Dave, to Dave Tube.
Dave Tube. God, I mean, my damn God. Of all people, like the nerdiest nerd when
I
it
know,
comes to all
I
of this.
I know his name. Yeah, but I'll talk to Tube.
Yeah, Andy sure. Riot is speaking.
Riot. Andy Riot will be there.
So yes. That's good. Not a Riot.
Do us a favor real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt because we were talking about this at the game the other night. Ask Andy Reid if he managed the Royals what number he would wear.
Mm. Love it.
Yeah, if you get that question. Because somebody said, you know, Andy Reid would be a better coach than Matt Cotrero.
Right. They say Andy Reid should be managing the Royals, not Q. Oh,
where Bob, of course, you open up that Pandora's basket to Bob and I, and I'm like, could you imagine if somebody's like, hey, Andy, in the eighth, you decided to take out Zerpa and put in Estevez for a four-out save. Yeah, you know, so listen, we were really excited for the challenge that Aaron Judge, that's a good ball player, and Aaron, and, you know, he got a hold of it, and, you know, you just got to hope everything's all right, and, you know, we'll move on. Hey, Matt, in the fourth quarter, we saw that you moved from deep safety to more an aggressive Shona Blitz. Yeah, look, you know, you can't really, you know, try to win the game on one play. You know, you go out there and the guy's got to play his position. You can't really hope that the guy is going to blitz and actually make contact. But we thought we had the right situation, and unfortunately it didn't work out that way. So we'll see what happens. We got a lot of these left. 16. I'm sorry? 16. Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's not 162 anymore, Q. Like, you're coaching football now. Right. Who would do better, Andy in baseball or Q in football?
Yeah. Andy, we noticed that Bobby Witt's been 4 for his last 25. Yeah, look, that's a great kid. And, you know, we trust him to be what he can be. And, you know, he's out there every day, man. I'll tell you what, it's a tough kid, man. But, hey, let's talk about somebody being tough as I
So what number would Andy be if he managed a baseball team?
Yeah, whatever it would be.
I'm on it.
Hey, Andy, you don't know me, but what number would you be if you were the Royals manager? And I'll listen off the air.
And I'll have a follow-up, Brad.
Yeah.
2-2, bottom nine, what pitch you throw?
Yeah.
Probably that heater, you know? So, look, I will say this when it comes to the Royals, because I was getting DM'd last night or tweeted at by people, not that I'm trying to say that I'm cool, but was the same sort of narrative, like there's no fire. There's no it there. And, you know, then you get, you know, some guy who's got a profile picture of Skip Bayless with like different colored Rodman hair and says, maybe you should go listen to what Denny Matthews had to say about what he said about Jazz Chisholm. And I respect Denny. I love Denny. Denny will be on this show doing his bachelor party and having a whole bunch of fun with us.
Right.
But here's the thing. I don't agree with everybody all the time. And last night when they were doing the pregame show, Denny Matthews was on and they were talking about Jazz Chisholm. Him and Jake Eisenberg were.
Jazz Chisholm.
And they were saying, you know, like, Jazz is a guy that you cannot have get into your head because that's where he wins. And I understand that logic. Yeah. I totally get that. I have friends that are like that. We've talked about this on the show where you have people that are button pushers where you're like, just don't let them win. And unfortunately, I think Mac and I are those people that do let those people win more often than they shouldn't. And afterwards, you're like,
Don't let that guy in your life.
Wish I would have just put my phone away, not read the message, and just, you know, whatever.
Chaz Jism.
The thing about it is there are times, I think, in a season or in, you know, situations in sports where you do need to have that guy. It just so happened in 2014 that it was, of all people, it was Raul Ibanez.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I would have gone back and asked the same question that I asked last night on Twitter, which was, who's the guy that you want to see it be that goes into the locker room, flips the table up and says, what the, you know, are we doing? This is absolute BS. We were a playoff team last year. We told all these people we were going to be a playoff team.
get your head out of your ass and start playing some Royal Baseball. What the F is this? We are not this team. Who's that guy?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question.
The thing.
Yeah,
there isn't that guy. Is it Sal? Is it Vinny? Hell, is it Bobby? Is it India? Like, who's the guy?
Well, I think
it's not Jack.
No, it can't be Jack.
Can it be Jack?
No, it can't. No, he has no credibility in that locker. If he did that, people would look at him and go, "Who the? You've been here a week, bro." Like,
right. That's what I'm saying. So it can't be him
at all. No, ultimately it has to be somebody who you don't expect to be that guy, because that's when those things work. I mean, I've talked to the managers in this organization over the years, and it always comes to everybody wants the spread flipper, right? And the last guy that, well, I should say there's a couple. The first manager I covered here was Tony Muser, and that's when he kind of did the milk and cookies thing and basically took a shot at Mike Sweeney, for lack of a better term, right? And then he was gone like the next day.
That's right.
Did you know, though, that Tony Muser, when he was in baseball, I think it was in the minor leagues, a really good mustache. That guy survived an explosion in the clubhouse. Go look that up. Tony Muser was in a clubhouse and it blew up, and that guy survived. That's a tough son of a gun, right?
T-I-L.
I mean, God. I mean, it was like, and he's like, you survived an explosion, yeah. And so
that one guy got a phone thrown in his face from Hal McCray.
Yeah, Hal McCray. Scoop. Yeah, sorry, Scoop man. Like,
he got the scoop, though.
You know, he definitely did. He still owed a crab cake dinner in Baltimore. They never gave him anything. I would have owned the team had I got hit in the face.
Oh, fantastic. God. Yeah, you wouldn't pay for the thing the rest of your life.
I would have owned that team a long time ago.
You came out looking like that dude in that Arkansas press conference
right.
with the neck roll.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to somebody of high authority.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. I'll get the Jungle Law guys on that one, right? But anyway, so Tony Muser was that kind of rough and tough guy. You know, he was kind of an old school manager. Drill Bits, I think, was his nickname. And then you had, obviously, after him, Tony Pena came in, and he showered in his uniform, and you know, that kind of stuff was bizarre.
Sure.
But they'd never really had somebody that wants to be that, like that Billy Martin type. Like, everybody thinks that's the way to manage a baseball team. And that works. You get one time to legitimately get an opportunity to flip your personality, to flip the spread, to do all that. Otherwise, nobody buys in anymore, right? It's like, oh, this guy again is yelling about the same kind of stuff. So you get one opportunity. That's why I say it has to be somebody that you're least expecting to do that. And for me, that's either Salvi or Q. Mm-hmm. And I think Bobby, you know, he's still very young in this game. It would matter coming from Bobby, but could you imagine if the manager or the 35-year-old captain who's been here through three different eras of Royals baseball, essentially, a guy that everybody loves around the game, who wears Jean Natte perfume and is the fun-loving guy, goes in there and flips that spread? But the other thing with Salvi is he hasn't been great this year. Now, he did hit another home run last night. He's starting to heat up a little bit. But ultimately, he has the biggest voice, the most respected voice, the most important voice inside that locker room. And I think if he did it, it would have the biggest effect on people inside that locker room.
I just think that you're at a point now where you're 500. And,
yep.
And I didn't think that, you know, I made the bold prediction, and I still stand on it, and I might lose that tonight, that the Royals would not go below 500 again. They're at 500. They're not below 500 yet. But the division is over. Like, and I hate to be this guy, and Jin, you know me. I'm the biggest Royals biased, always want to talk baseball, always think there's a chance. Even we'll watch them every night, as you all should as well. Because if you're going to have something to complain about, you got to have some sort of logic behind it. And that's why when I get asked a question last night, which I know all of you are attuned into the game, a lot of you were there again last night. Shout out to you guys. But the thing about it is the fact that who is the guy? And we get some on the text line. Cole Reagans could do it. Well, when it rains, it pours. Cole Reagans is on the 15 IL.
We may not see him again this year. And I'm just guessing at that. Obviously, I don't know that. But you got a rotator cuff injury and you're a pitcher?
And this is the third time. You know, and somebody says, is Cags another one of these lead by example guys? He's played 8 games in the major leagues. Eventually, he will be there. Eventually, he will be, from what I can read and from what I can tell in his personality, eventually, he will be the guy. But he's 22 years old. He's played 8 games in the majors. He has no say, no clout, no any jurisdiction when it comes to, like, that guy.
Right. He's in a different category. He's, like, on the – don't even talk about Cags when we talk about this kind of stuff.
And the thing about where I'm at is, you know, this has to be a moment where – you know, and I see some of you on the text line, and Bob alluded to it as well when it comes to Salvador Perez. But this has got to be one of these moments, because your team is down very, very bad. This is the worst it's been all year.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is hit all at the same
time.
You're
losing and your ace is on the DL.
Not only that, your pitching is now average.
Yep.
Your offense is still below average. And now you're playing the Yankees, who have now beaten you the last two games of the ALDS, three in New York and two in Kansas City. They've now beat you seven straight times. They're rubbing your face in your own you-know-what. And now you need that guy that when they do come in there, and again, if we're going to take the high road and take the Diddy Matthews thing where we started this whole thing, which is don't let Jazz Chisholm get in your head. That's where he wins. Okay, well, then let somebody from your own interior shell come in there and wake the place up. And that's why I ask. And you have a good one with Salvador Perez, because Sal's the guy that's always, you know, fun-loving, smile on his face.
That's right.
I'm your best friend. And when he walks in and starts going, F this, and we need to play like this, and this is not what we're doing. I'm not going to do this year with this team. We are going to get to the playoffs. We're not this bad. Everybody will be like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I think this is where I'm going to stand on business on this. I think, in my own personal belief, I think this is Bobby's job. And I understand that a lot of people will sit back and say, that's not what Bobby Witt Jr. does. That's not what Bobby Witt Jr.'s attitude is. And I will take this back to the cross parking lot comparison to Patrick Mahomes. When the Chiefs were absolutely down to their very bad, worst that they've ever been, and Kadarius Toney couldn't catch a flipping cold if he tried, and everybody kept messing up on the offensive line, who was the guy that freaked out the most?
Yeah, it was Mahomes.
And had you ever seen it?
No.
Because that wasn't Mahomes' style.
But it's not now, Salvi's style either.
I understand that. But Salvi is not the franchise, like, He's not the roots of this franchise.
Right.
Mahomes is of the Chiefs. Bobby Witt Jr. is the third best baseball player in the world. I think he's the best, but according to people in Major League Baseball, third.
Chaz Chisholm.
And the thing about this is that's where I think if Bobby Witt Jr. comes in there and does a Michael Lorenzen and chucks his glove against his locker room and starts going all, you know, Texas rattlesnake pissed off, then all of a sudden I think the team will go back and say, well, there was this day on June 13th where, you know, Bobby came in the locker room and just started holding everybody accountable, including himself, calling himself down, getting all this. And that, to me, when you look at what Mahomes did in that game when they were playing whoever the hell, New England, whatever, or Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
And it was just a breaking point.
Yeah.
And what'd they do? They won the whole effing thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the Royals would do that, but by God, you'd see a different team, I think.
Well, you have to have a person that has a breaking point too, right? And when do you reach that breaking point? What does it take to get to that breaking point? Who knows if anybody's even at that breaking point yet right now for the Royals? But this is where we are in the baseball season. It is June. This is a 500 team, right? Mm. So let's see what happens as we continue to move on. It doesn't look great with the injury to Cole Reagans right now. That really sucks. I mean, that's a big-time injury to have him down on the shelf, right? And then you lose these last two games to the Yankees in front of big crowds. You don't want to lose when you have the most amount of people there. You want to put on a good show. You want to give them a reason to come back to the ballpark, right? And the last couple of nights, it just hasn't been, you know, aesthetically pleasing for the Royals. But again, you're kind of seeing where they are. They're playing one of the best teams in baseball, and they're not living up to the level of being that playoff team that we thought against one of the best teams in baseball that you would face in the postseason. But I don't want to be, again, when it rains, it pours. But with this situation right now, what can we do, right? And everybody's like, trade, 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 trade. I was talking to somebody in baseball yesterday, and they're like, dude, the trade market right now for starting pitchers is minuscule. There's nobody available other than that Alcantara guy right now in Miami. And I'm thinking, I go, what about batters? And they go, same thing. There's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of people out there on the market that are available to help this ball club. And
that's ridiculous.
I know, it is. But therein lies the most important reason why the expansion of the playoffs isn't great for us. Right? Mm-hmm. We like it because it gets more teams in, but it also keeps more teams alive and it whittles down the trade market and the trade partners. And when you're a team like the Royals who expects to be in the playoffs and you need that one extra piece, it's going to be a lot harder to acquire than it has been in years past of what we've been used to because of the expansion of playoffs and because a lot of teams are still alive and they don't want to wave the white flag because they are a business and they would tell their fans we're done for the year and teams aren't ready to do that at this point in time and may not be ready. They may need to push the trade deadline back a month with all these expansion. No, but seriously, instead of July 31st, make it August 31st because then you're going to have more teams that are eliminated from the postseason at that point in time. If you're the general manager of a team and on July 31st or July 29th, whatever the day is, and you're three or four games out of the final, you're not going to trade anybody. You're not going to give up at that point in time, but you get to August and you push push the trade deadline back. And now teams can really understand, all right, we're going into September. We're out of this thing. And maybe we can have more trades pop. But right now, there's not a whole lot out there that this organization can go out there and acquire. The guys that are on this team right now have to start hitting the baseball. It doesn't matter if it's Max Fried, Clark Schmidt, guys for the, it doesn't matter. This team can't hit anybody right now. They have got to go out there and they have got to start producing, because it's not a one guy replacement thing right now on this roster. This not hitting has become a pandemic ultimately in this lineup. Nobody's getting the hits when they need to get the hits. And then Salvi gets a home run in the ninth inning. Great. Doesn't mean that a whole heck of a lot. You've got to find a way to get hits when it matters most. And the Royals just haven't done that, next to the worst in baseball at doing that.
This is Vern last night.
Man, that was embarrassing. This has been embarrassing. The whole thing's been embarrassing, and I'm talking about playing the Yankees. Seven straight losses to the New York Yankees. Outscored by 18 runs. Boo Jazz Chisholm all you want. Where's the lie? What did he say that was untrue? Booing Jazz Chisholm while Anthony Volpe's punk behind. Ugh. It's embarrassing because you were outplayed in every single facet of the game. Not just tonight, not just last night, but the three-game series in the Bronx a few months ago, the final two games of the DS last year. It's every single facet of the game. They're clearly better. You can't say otherwise. You want to, I want to, you can't. Better bullpen, better rotation, better defense, better at running the bases, better at the dish, more power. But they're just better. A lot better.
Somebody go in that locker room and fire yourselves up, because that's what you need.
Wow, Vern's even breaking now.
I mean, it's getting there, man. It's Damn. Getting there.
I mean, Vern's breaking.
Oh, wow.
I don't like that.
There you go. We are 85 days away. We will get into Max Burning question on the other side. Plus, we'll talk about what Charles Barkley had to say as well. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Had a pretty interesting thing to say about the New York Knicks. I'll tell you what, man. I want to get into that real quick, because it brings up a question about Andy Reid as well. But this was Charles Barkley calling the Knicks dumb.
The Knicks got to be the stupidest damn people in the world. Like, you don't fire no good coach like that and don't have a plan. I mean, Tibbs did a hell of a job. Obviously, something's going on there, but you don't have a plan. And now the three coaches turn you down. You got to have a plan, man. And they don't have a plan now. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
He's not wrong.
It's unbelievable, really.
Essentially, to give it an analogy, the Knicks quit their job and didn't have an interview anywhere else.
That's right.
I'm all for people wanting to get a different job, but the minute you quit your job, you're like, what are you gonna do now? I'll figure it out. No, you won't.
No, you won't. No,
you'll fall into something, hopefully. But yeah, that's what the Knicks did. They just, and again, by the way, if you missed it, the Pacers win last night. They're up 2-1.
Yeah, how about that? Right?
Halliburton, one rebound away from a triple double. Almost called my shot yesterday with you and Drew. Yeah, that's insane. Now, what do you say? Three people have turned down the job?
Well, yeah, Jason. Well, they haven't turned down the job. The teams have rejected them, right? It's like you're dating somebody, but man, over here is the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's got a guy. Yeah. You ask the guy, can I date your girl? No, you cannot date my girl. We're not doing this. They've gone after Jason Kidd, Ime Udoka, and Chris the guy, Finch. Yeah, Chris Finch up in Minnesota. And they've been rejected all three times.
And now,
right?
I guess now four. Yesterday went for Quinn Snyder in Atlanta.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, and Trae Young quote tweeted the report and said, like, hell nah, with a laughing face.
They're going after Quinn Snyder now, got rejected by Quinn. Oh, that would be the greatest thing ever. God.
Can Quinn handle New York?
Yeah, man, I love Quinn. I really did. I mean, I'm going to tell you, some of the best time we had meeting people in sports, Quinn Snyder is top of the list. Like, so much fun with that guy. He got it from this aspect of things, right? Love that guy.
Oh, he had fun.
Oh, he did, man. He had a time. where was I going to go with that? So Quinn Snyder's now rejected them. Jay Wright told them no.
Yep.
You made this decision thinking now that you made the Eastern Conference Finals, you could just go out there and do whatever you want and throw your new you-know-whats on the table and say, okay, let's go. We're the Knicks. And everybody else is like, yeah, we don't care. We're not giving you permission. They're going after people that are taken right now. Now, I know Meta World Peace was on WFAN, our sister station, pleading for the job. I don't know that that works necessarily when you go do something like that. He would take the job right about now. Tom Thibodeau's available. You could go hire him to be the guy. Mark Malone is available, or whatever that guy, Mike Malone. From Denver. But somebody had said early in this process, don't count on him being a candidate. But now that everybody else has said no, I mean, and how do you introduce this guy, too? Here's Mike Malone, our seventh choice. You know,
exactly.
You cannot, if you're the Knicks, go, this is the guy we wanted all along. Nobody's buying that. And so you had no plan.
Or you have Post Malone, Carl Malone, like, introduce Mike Malone.
Mike Malone, yes. Yeah, you could do something like Six that. Yeah.
The mailman's going to deliver you some information, but first, here's Post Malone. Oh, by the way, I need some help. Here's Mike Malone for your head coach.
And so all these teams are calling around and asking, you know, like, or the Knicks are calling all these teams and asking, can we have your coach? And somebody tweeted to a talk show host in Minneapolis that says, Rudy Gobert for Steve Kerr straight up. Is this ridiculous, right? I don't know how you guys would feel about that trade. Rudy Gobert for Steve Kerr. Seems good on the surface. You get a great coach. They get a great player, right? Like, hey, let's go.
He gets Clay back.
And so I was asking you guys, let's say this is, you know, shoes reversed. This is the NFL. Teams are calling for Andy Reid. Is there one player in the NFL that you would be willing to trade for Andy Reid?
No.
Because my answer is a flat out no. Yeah. There is not one player in the NFL that is more valuable than Andy Reid.
The only player that is on the Chiefs.
And that's a good answer to that question. Yeah. Would, if he was on the Titans right now, would you trade Andy Reid for Patrick Mahomes with the Titans? Because I don't think Patrick Mahomes is the same Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid.
I would think about it with more logic than I am right now. Like if Mahomes
Let's say Josh Allen was our quarterback.
No.
No,
I still think we'd have at least two Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
Said Joe Burrow. I think we'd have at least two Super Bowls.
Yeah, and that's the value of Andy Reid, and that's why. And this that's not a hot take. There is no player in the NFL that is more valuable than Andy Reid, at all, anywhere. Because the three of us emphatically didn't even have to think about it. Go, no, we're not trading Andy Reid, and that tells you there is not one player in this league that is more valuable to a team than what Andy Reid is to the Kansas City Chiefs. He may be the most valuable figure in all of the NFL. The owners will say Roger Goodell because he negotiates great TV contracts. But for me, Andy Reid is the most valuable entity in the NFL right now. And we're so damn lucky that we have him here in Kansas City. Imagine teams calling Brett Veach. Hey, would you be interested in trading it? Click. You know, click. You know, what are you going to give me? Like, there's literally nothing out there where you could get up there if you're Clark Hunt and say, we've traded Andy Reid for where the fan base would be on board, right? There's nobody out there that you could trade that would make this team better than what Andy Reid has them right now. That's how good Andy Reid is. And that's what the Knicks gave up on. Not Andy, but a really good basketball coach.
Really good coach.
And now they're stuck without a plan. And now they have nothing. Because it would be like trading Andy Reid. Nagy had already taken a job somewhere else. Spags is retired. Yeah. Is Tube going to coach the team? No, he's done. He wants no part of this. Where are you going to go? Well, we traded Andy Reid because we got Justin Jefferson. Who's coaching the team? Oh. You know that guy in New England that was good? Josh McDaniels? We're going to bring him in. Like, that's what you're looking at, right? Or you know, Tyreek Hill throws his hat into the ring and says he'll be the coach of the Chiefs. Or, you know, like Better World Peace. You know, I'm just trying to think of somebody that's out there. So, like, that's what this would be like. You traded Andy Reid. You got, say, Justin Jefferson back in return. Who's coaching the Chiefs? Didn't think that far ahead. Would never happen here. But Andy Reid's the most valuable entity in the NFL. There's nothing worth trading for Andy Reid. Unless you're going to trade your franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'll give you my entire franchise if you give us Andy Reid. Fine.
Fine.
So now I own two teams? Great.
How many first-round picks would you take?
I wouldn't. Because first-round picks, all picks are hit and miss.
Andy
Reid
is a limit, right? There's a line.
Because, I mean, if you...
Yeah.
I mean,
if it's 20, okay.
Where this conversation like balloons out of proportion is that you would say, well, let's say that the worst team in football next year is the New Orleans Saints. Okay, well, I'm going to trade Andy Reid to the Saints for 5 first-round picks. The problem is you might get a pretty good first-round pick the first year, But if you trust in the logic that he is Andy Reid and what he can do to franchises, that team will then start to win 10, 11, 12 games by the years 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
And that first-round pick is now 31st, 32nd, right. 31st, whatever.
Yep.
Because it always reminds me of the Dick Vermeil situation in Kansas City.
Right? Dick Vermeil is still pissed the Chiefs had to give up picks for him. He's like the worst trade they ever made.
Had to give up a second and a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Compensatory pick for Dick Vermeil. And they had to pay the Rams like $500,000.
And they had to give something up for Trent Green, too. So
they had to give up Washington. Or he wasn't Washington.
No,
Trent Green. Because that was the year Rodney Harrison blew Trent Green's knee up.
Yeah. I think they gave up a second for Trent, if I'm not mistaken, at that
point.
The
Chiefs agreed to give the Rams their second round pick in 2001 draft and Washington's third round pick in 2002, which the Chiefs had acquired from the Redskins at the time. They also agreed to reimburse the Rams $500,000 they had paid Vermeil as a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we'll take your old coach that retired that took you to the Super Bowl. We're going to give you $500K and a second-round pick and then a third-round pick in the future, and we want your quarterback, too.
Right.
And we're going to turn it into the best offense. Worth it.
Worth it. 100% worth every penny. Yeah. Every penny. Yeah. Every penny. It was so good. Oh, it was so fun. God, it was great.
0204, man. Best 3 years of my life.
I'm going to tell you something, man. And look, I formed lifelong relationships with these people. It was great. I loved it. You know, it was fantastic watching that offense play. I mean, my God, just wish they would have invested a little bit on the defense. But, you know, back to the original thing, like you can't get rid of good coaches. And good coaches make all the difference in the world because there aren't many.
What about Veach?
I wouldn't trade him either. I don't think there's nothing I would trade for Brett Veach.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And if you're Brett Veach, you got a good here. You go anywhere else, now you're the guy. Right? Mm-hmm. The spotlight will be on you. Spotlight on Brett Veach right now. It's all about Andy Reid. Anything that happens with the team, Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, he's third.
Brett
fiddle.
Who? Oh, he's the fifth best GM behind everybody who's never won before, right? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, never would happen. Never would happen.
816 said, I heard the Knicks were going for Gottlieb.
Ah! You get the week off.
Fantastic.
Gottlieb called the Knicks and told them how to do the coaching search. Yes, that's what it was. Here's how you do this thing. You don't fire the guy until you have the guy. Nice plan.
We're going to do it all over again. Not the conversation statement, but like literally the voting. We're going to do it all over again. Because of yesterday that was announced. We get into that on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.